You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
This. I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and today I'm eating Raising Cane's. I want a solid bench of four chicken fingers, crinkle cut fries with Texas toast. Now back to you, Todd.
So the usual.
Make Raising Cane's part of your game day lineup.
I'm not on drugs. I'm not drunk.
It's early break. Weekday mornings from 6 to 8 on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back. Early break on The Ticket. Nick Sainert alongside Bill Bush here as Steve Sipple out today. Jake Sorensen back on Monday. Are you looking for an exciting new way to put your skills to work?
Explore
new career options in the fintech industry at Currency, a Sand Hills global company. They offer full-time positions in financial sales, compliance, operations, and other fields. They have a 4.5-day work week, an attractive benefits package, and opportunities for advancement. Visit gocurrency.com/careers to learn more. gocurrency.com/careers to learn more. Bill, every time you do that, it still catches... I've filled in plenty of times. Every time you do it, though, it still catches me off guard.
It's a little off guard like that.
I get
Carson
used to
catches
it.
People off guard because he's sure on top does. Of his game. That's what he does. That's
sure does.
Everything is thriving over there at Sandhills Global. And things are going great, like I said. And we also mentioned, too, that sales, there's also, like I said, we have all the currency with all the finance, the seven weeks of paid vacations, unreal. There's also a lot of sales options at Sandhills Global. Reach out to Carson.
Once again, gocurrency.com/careers to learn more. All right, Bill. Bill's Thrills is, you ready to go here?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Bill's Thrills starts now.
Some call him the most interesting man in the world.
That is setting up the morel mushroom bonanza.
Oh, yeah.
Is this going to be a bonanza?
Mushrooms grow better with thunder and lightning.
Others call him Coach, but to everyone else, he's Bill.
I want to get one of those military ab stimulators for us to wear during the show. You see, I sent it to you today.
It's time for Bill's Thrills on Early Break.
That is right. Bill's Thrills sponsored by Diner Contracting.
Randy!
If you're looking for remodels in everything from bathrooms, kitchen, and whole house remodels, call Randy at 402-417-5204 for a quote today. All right, Bill, what you got for us?
Well, today's our monster mashups.
Monster mashups.
So we're not doing the monster mash song.
I didn't have the monster
mash.
That has not been passed on.
Let you in on that. Yeah.
I print this paper verbatim.
It's a little different. Also, probably best we
didn't have it. I got it for you.
No, it's okay. No, just let it go because now we have a new tradition that Sipple sings part of the song and it's incredible. So we'll just let that one.
let that one go for today.
It's the best weekend I've ever had for monster mashups. I've never seen games like this that are so intriguing to me and all that it's just unreal. USF at North Texas. If North Texas wins this, they'll be 6-0. Between these two teams and Memphis, they're the three teams that are leading the way to the playoffs for the group of five. So that's going to be an incredible sight to see that. Rutgers at Washington tonight. Tonight, ooh. 8 o'clock tonight. That game interests me. Can't wait to see what happens. They're going to fly 6 hours over there. I can't wait to see what happens. Where everyone's loving Jed Fish right now, and I'm on board with that. Mm-hmm. Here's the one for Husker fans. UCLA at Michigan State. How does that game not get bigger to watch? after. I mean, I've never seen a game catch more mayhem than the UCLA win over Penn State. It's the most of that of a team that had four losses. I mean, the upset, and then just the conversation. I mean, they're carrying people off the field. There's, I heard talks on the in depth on that game yesterday in great detail of that game. It's not went away, and so but for the Husker fans. You want to see that game. Mm-hmm. UCLA had the matchup against Michigan State with what happens with that flight. UCF, the Fighting Frost at Cincy. So there's Frosty at a team that Nebraska's played. Very interesting. If they're there, I talked to some people on staff. They're going to get some Skyline Chili today. And so, Skyline, you ever had Skyline Chili?
I have not.
Oh, God, it's incredible. It's just like a chili dog.
I remember you talking to the Cincinnati broadcaster and talking about Skyline Chili.
It's unbelievable. Northwestern at Penn State. That interests me. Because what if that game, what if Northwestern, we have them ranked as the bottom team. What if all of a sudden that game that Penn State wins it 27-24? I mean, even a close game will just have the fans just upside down.
Would that tell you more about Penn State or more about Northwestern?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
A little bit of both like that. So I love, this one's awesome. TCU at K-State. Because TCU beat them, and K-State all of a sudden they're just what, one or two? I mean, they're just two and maybe like 2-5, I believe.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden things are off the rails. What happens to it? This one's interesting. Arkansas at Tennessee. Why is it interesting? I believe they made this change because of when the opportunity of the bye week. Then also there's all this talk, okay, do we promote within to the head coach? They have to be competitive, they being Arkansas, to have any chance for Petrino to have a chance at this job. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Florida, Texas A&M. Florida ride the ship. We're back just like last year, going to get things turned. What happens? So what is the narrative now if Florida goes there and loses by 17 to A&M? Then all of a sudden it's right back. What do we do with Napier? Unbelievable storyline. Iowa, Wisconsin can't get any better. I think the game, there's a chance to be 12 to 10. Could be 12 to 10. It could be all safeties. It could be all safeties. The game could end up like that. Well, we had six safeties, and we held them to five.
Can you imagine if it was even three safeties?
It could happen. In this game, it's the first time you can see the game end 12 to 10, and it's all safeties. And they went on a walk-off safety. KU at Texas Tech, big game. Fun to watch. Incredible. Purdue at Minnesota, big game to watch. Because Minnesota – I've watched him enough. Boy, they're struggling. But can Purdue get a win at that spot? And then the last game of the night, Utah State at Hawaii, kicking off, I think, 11:59 p.m.
That's right.
Is a huge game. Utah State at Hawaii. I've been there in that exact same environment where I was at coaching at Utah State and went to Hawaii. So I know what that game is like. But there is, I mean, these matchups are unbelievable. You're going to be flipping and watching games all the way through. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. That's our monster matchup.
So it's crazy. There's so many fascinating storylines with a lot of those. I mean, Kansas State is one to where, I mean, Josh Hoover is a really good quarterback for TCU, but then Dylan Edwards, the running back for Kansas State, is not going to play against TCU this weekend. That's the third game this season that he's missed.
So he's injured again?
That's what he says. That's what the report is. But I don't know if it feels like a redshirt type of thing. I don't know what the situation is, but Kansas State's quite a bit different. Number one, just in totality this year, but especially without a star running back. Avery Johnson's leading their team in rushing yards this year.
Yeah, that's bad business. And that's odd for K-State.
Yeah.
I don't know Klieman personally. I know everybody, people, a lot of guys that worked for him and work for him currently. Mm-hmm. Is he not known for just being in line?
Yeah.
Here's how we do things. Good dude, everything, and they're failing. You know, an epic fail.
What do you think happened there? Did they move on and coronate Avery Johnson too soon because they did the whole thing with Will Howard, and that's what feels like it's uncharacteristic for Klieman. Just from what we've watched from afar, is it's been a lot of like, all right, we're gonna move on, we're gonna use this new age of college football, we're gonna bring in a highly touted transfer running back in Dylan Edwards. We're going to go and crown our five-star quarterback as the new face of the program. Like, is that the problem?
Well, you'd have a hard time. But, again, I don't know how – again, if you're not really good up front, you have people around you with Avery Johnson. I don't know how that pans out. But, I mean, the greatest thing that ever happened, if they simply said to Will Howard, you're the guy. Mm-hmm. You're the guy, and Avery's going to – he'll be your backup. You may get a series or not, but, Will, you're the guy. They didn't say that. Which led Will Howard to a national championship.
Yeah.
He wasn't leaving K-State if he was the guy.
No. He had just won a Big 12 title.
Leads him to ends up working. He's like, if I'm Will Howard and his parents, I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
And then right away, the question, now do we send the wrong guy away from here? It's just like going on right now. When Missouri somehow beats Alabama by 17, and all of a sudden it's going to be, because they talked about first year with Drew Aller, not great, play it back. Last year, okay, play it back. Mm-hmm. This year, play. It's like, what if Probula takes off?
Yeah.
And they're sitting there going like, hold it. We had this guy here, and we chose this one. I mean, there's so many storylines to go through with that. So, no, it's not going well at K-State at all. And I love those guys. But the interesting part of these games is just going to be unreal. We did the what if, Nick, a couple days ago. What if Indiana beats Oregon? Can you imagine the storyline Saturday? What if Missouri beats Alabama?
Yeah.
Because also Alabama's like, we're right. We're good. We're back. We had an error against Florida State. We're good. Imagine, because right now everybody's going, everybody like, no, do they like Kellen DeBoer? They love him.
Yeah.
Lose this game, and all of a sudden you're, what, 3-2, 4-2, whatever it is? I mean, it will be a mess, and it'll be an absolute, another, like, what is going on?
Now, yeah, I mean, on the other side of that, if Kalen DeBoer ends up beating Missouri, like you kind of just said, you're having the conversation about a coach that, lost to Florida State, but in conference play, won on the road at Georgia and then on the road at Missouri.
Yeah, exactly what I mean. So it's like the what-ifs in this game are the narratives from the fan base is going to be crazy. At Alabama, it's going to be the ship is righted, or it's going to be what? This is a mess. This is an absolute mess.
It's crazy. Speaking of narratives, the other game that you mentioned that it would be fascinating to see play out is that UCLA-Michigan State one. Because can you imagine if UCLA wins and Michigan State, who are in there, their second year of Jonathan Smith, and I like Jonathan Smith as a coach. I liked what he did at Oregon State. I think that was something that people don't talk about enough, as that's a tough place to win. And Trent Bray, the former Husker linebackers coach, is trying to do that there at Oregon State. But ultimately, I think the health of Aiden Childs is important in that one, because I don't know if Aiden Childs is fully healthy going in after how much Nebraska hit him last week. But then ultimately, patience will be run thin. If Michigan State looks up and they're 3-3, 0-3 in the Big Ten Conference in year two of Jonathan Smith, and their two losses have come against Nebraska and UCLA.
And their wins are not good wins. I mean, as I said, Boston College is a horrible football team, and that was overtime.
It was Western Michigan and Youngstown State.
Yeah, so not great wins, and they need to have this. At the same time, what if it flips around and Michigan State beats them 38-9?
Yeah.
And then you look at UCLA going like, okay, you had the one win. Yeah. I mean, last year, I mean, after all last week, it was like, is there a chance that UCLA just wins out and their first four-loss team to make the playoffs?
That's a bizarre conversation.
The narrative was like, it was insane, the narrative. And just remember, in 20 minutes, Penn State scored 37. Mm-hmm. 37. UCLA didn't slow them down.
Yeah.
Did not slow them down at all. But the narratives across the board are going to be insane. And I think they're still on the cusp of a lot of job changes. I think there's going to be there's already five open right now. And I think there's going to be a lot, because I think the narrative is also going to be that not a lot of coordinators going. You're going to see Memphis and Tulane as coaches that are going to be moving up, probably, which also leaves jobs open at those spots. And so there's going to be not a lot of coordinators getting these spots. I mean, they're not built for that. So it's going to be very interesting.
Well, and a couple of the jobs that we expect to open up, potentially Florida, like, you're not going to be able to take a coordinator from another job and say, hey, go be the head coach at Florida, right? It's going to be a James Franklin if he's on the market. Mm-hmm. It's going to be one of those types of coaches, it feels like. I'm also interested to see Rhett Lashley down at SMU. SMU has all this money, obviously, but if Lashley's offered an ACC, a Big Ten, or an SEC job, what's the pull there?
Yeah, I don't think anything. Obviously, they're already in the ACC, so I don't think anything would draw in that direction. But would Arkansas? Well, I think what would draw you at Arkansas would be real simple, is that I don't think he has interest in it until Walmart and Tyson Chicken say, no, we're doing this. And they're like, okay, what are we doing? Yeah, we're going to do this at the highest level. And so that would be like, okay, this is interesting. Because no matter how you cut it at SMU, and you have all the money, you get to recruit locally, do very well, and then you start, if you're at Arkansas, to start saying, okay, what's our schedule look like next year? Mm-hmm. And you're like going, hey, buckle up, check this out. Because guess what they're doing next year? They're going to 9 games plus one Power 4 non-conference.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Absolutely.
Thank you, SEC, for doing that and having better games. But he's full. I mean, that's going
to
be something.
Maybe we need to talk about that at the 8 o'clock segment because I was having this conversation on the way back because we got to talk to Tony Petitti yesterday at Big Ten Basketball Media Days, and he didn't have the greatest day in front of the media. And since Basketball Media Days wasn't broadcasted as highly as football and there was not a podium, you don't get to hear about it. But I feel like the Big Ten has somewhat lost a little bit of leverage in the conversation about Big Ten versus SEC, because that was the big thing that they had over the SEC's head was the scheduling model. And now that the SEC said, hey, we'll call you and then we'll raise you.
They called and raised, and we haven't and when I say we, I'm more of a Big Ten guy as far as the amount of time I've spent at schools, but the Big Ten has not answered. They've been like, no, you don't have to play the plot. You don't have to play the SEC's like, yep, we'll do that, and we'll one-up you, and let's go.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I really feel that one of the things that was set down, they'll never say it out loud, but I think the SEC put that in there to be like, we'd like to play the Big Ten.
Absolutely.
We'd like that to be a Big Ten game. Are you guys interested? Mm. And it just doesn't seem like right now. They're not going to mandate it. That's for sure.
It would be sweet. I mean, I think just on the surface, and I haven't thought deep about this, it would be great to see a pact or an agreement between the Big Ten and the SEC to say, hey, one non-con game a year, we're going to match up. And you could even do it to where they're similar – minded teams, to where it's your top-tier teams are playing the top-tier teams in the Big Ten and middle of the road versus middle of the road and so on and so forth.
The question is Petitti and the Big Ten holding out on, is it finance? Where it's like, we'll play an extra game. We need more money for playing that extra game.
Sure.
We need to know, because I would imagine that Sankey and they say we're going to go plus one and plus another one, that's going to be, that also with that, we need more money. And so they had to have said to the coaches, because the coaches in the SEC did not want another one. And they basically said, listen, here's the deal. Money does matter. And so we need to have the ninth game because it's going to finance us a lot.
Well, you think about for TV companies as well. I mean, for the execs there, to figure out TV agreements between, okay, does ESPN get this game? Does Big Ten get the rights for it, home and homes? Like, how do you schedule that going forward? The people that are the powers that be would have to decide that. All right, it's time to play the game show.
Let's do it.
Call now, 402-464-5685 for your chance to take Bill down in Good Luck Bill. That's what we call it, correct?
Good Luck Bill. Yeah, this is not good. This is not good for me. I've actually won several of these, but it was always Seinfeld.
Is not Seinfeld.
So with the Seinfeld, I fared okay. So now that it's just an open one, zero chance of me winning this.
Today's topic, backup quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, I will give you the team, obviously, and then what conference they play in. Is it the AFC?
Say it again.
Or is it the NFC? Okay. Backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
You're giving me the name. I got to name the team.
I will give you the name of the quarterback, and you have to name the team.
Okay, I'll have a chance.
So there you go. If you feel like you know your backup quarterbacks
in the
NFL.
This is a nice one.
Okay, if you feel like you know your backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
It's football Friday.
Take down Bill for Bagels and Joe certificates. Good luck, Bill. Starts now.
We've all been there. You're listening to the radio, and then that rage starts to grow inside of you. It starts to consume you. It gets to a point where you just want to yell, "Shut up, Sipple!"
No, sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, here's your chance. It's time to shut up, Sipple. Call now to play 464-5685. Shut up, Sipple. Brought to you by Bagels and Joe.
Once again, call now 464-5685 for your chance to take Bill down in Good Luck Bill about backup quarterbacks. I'm getting a lot of flack on the text line for not doing Film Friday. Corey and Lincoln says Nick is totally disregarding Film Friday.
Mm-hmm. People are frustrated. That's Jake's deal. So we have Swim's in here. Swim showed up. He got in late last night. Yeah, so I'm going to support you on this, Swim.
I appreciate that.
And there's
that,
nobody that would like to not support you more than me. if I had the opportunity to take a shot at you, I would.
You usually
and I
do. Can't.
And you bring it on yourself. You bring it on yourself. There's no doubt. But let's go.
Today's contestant, Jesse in Milford. Jesse, how do we feel about backup quarterbacks in the NFL, my friend?
Oh, I guess not very good, but we'll give it a shot.
Did you call thinking it was Film Friday?
I did.
Okay.
Well, hang in there. No. Jesse, how old are you?
I'm 42.
42 then. Now, so you'd be a little young. You probably don't remember the great song Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield. It's an incredible song.
No, never heard it ever.
What?
I'm kidding.
Okay, I was going to say, that was a classic. Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield, probably one of the top 10 songs ever recorded.
All right, here we go. Jesse, first question for you. Tyler Shuck is the backup quarterback for which NFC team?
Oh, man. I have no idea. Tyler Shuck. Let's give it a shot and say New Orleans.
Is it New Orleans?
Brilliant.
How about that one?
Did you actually guess that? Just randomly pick that one?
Completely.
Okay,
completely
I'm done. I can't win. It then. Is not the, when you pick one of 30, one of whatever 16 on the NFC. Yeah,
the New Orleans Saints was drafted last year.
I would have eventually got it. If I didn't have it right away.
All right, 1-0, Jesse. All right, Bill, first one to you. What team is Gardner Minshew the backup QB for in the AFC? Gardner Minshew.
Oh, don't get this one wrong. I know it.
Oh no,
I had it for a while. I'm going to throw it out. I don't think it's right, though. I'm just going with it. Raiders?
Is it the Raiders?
Yeah. It is not with the Raiders. The Raiders. At some, one point, wasn't he?
He did. He did. Okay. Played with, right. Had stints with the Raiders, yeah. With the Colts as well.
Yeah.
All right, Jesse, would you like to steal this one? You said you know it.
Oh, I'm going to steal it. It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
That is right.
Brilliant.
Kansas City Chiefs 2-0.
Oh, the Chiefs homer. Gotcha.
2-0 in favor of Jesse. All right, Jesse, for the win. Which NFC South team is Andy Dalton the backup QB for?
Oh, man. Andy Dalton. I don't know. The Bengals?
Is it the Bengals? It is not the Bengals.
I don't even know if they're AFC, NFC with that, but I don't even know what division they're in like that, but I think it's the Panthers.
Is it the Panthers? That is right.
Brilliant.
All right, Bill.
I'm alive.
You are alive.
You like that, Jesse?
This is the one.
How'd that taste?
To send it to overtime. To send it to the tiebreaker, you have to get this right. Jesse leads 2-1. Which NFC East team is Marcus Mariota the backup quarterback for?
Marcus Commanders. Mariota.
Is it the Commanders? It is. We are tied heading to the tiebreaker.
Oh, Jesse, this would hurt, wouldn't it? This would hurt.
All right.
Oh.
Now, so remind me, I always ask the question. Jesse picks the number. Bill, you go over under. All right. All right. Notable backup quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick played for...
Fitzmagic.
If Fitzpatrick played in the league for quite a while, Jesse. How many teams did Ryan Fitzpatrick play for?
Oh. Let's go 5.
All right, Bill. Ooh. Is it over, under, 5?
He hit a number. Oh, I'm just going to roll the dice. It was more.
Is it more? It is.
Oh!
How about that?
Fuck it up.
Let's
Rudy.
Play the horns. Jesse, thanks for playing. Calling down the line, my friend.
Jesse.
There it is.
Pop on some Rick Springfield. You'll feel better.
Wow. Jesse blew the 2-0 advantage. Dude.
Thank you, Jesse, for calling in.
Ryan Fitzpatrick played for 9 NFL teams. He played for Washington, Miami, Tampa Bay, New York Jets, the Houston Texans, Titans, Bills, Bengals, Rams.
That's awesome.
Started his career in 2005, was never in a place for longer than 2 seasons, except from 2009 to 2013 when he played for the Buffalo Bills. He played for 4 years with Buffalo. But everywhere else, only was there for a season.
He's living
or
a good
two.
Life right now, too.
He is doing games on the studio for Amazon. He was a seventh round selection, 250th overall.
Wasn't he Ivy League?
He was Harvard grad. Yeah. Nice job. Had 34,990 passing yards.
It's a lot.
That is a lot. Over 220 touchdown passes as well.
He's one of those guys that's like, okay, do you win a lot, do this, whatever. It's like, no, but highly respected.
Wow.
I mean, he's respected at the highest level. That was incredible.
What a comeback.
Whoa.
I felt like that was an okay replacement for Film Friday.
Okay, patting yourself on the back. All right.
I'm just going to say it. I'm getting
swims high on himself.
A lot of flack on the text line. We like a 3-2 finish.
I thought it was good, too. I enjoyed it. I'm not a big Film Friday guy, but I respect Jake because that's way before me.
Yeah.
Way before me.
That's awesome. All right, there you go. So, once again, apologize. Thanks to Jesse and Milford for calling in. He wins a bagel and a coffee from our friends at Bagels and Joe, one of my favorite breakfast spots. I bring in bagels often.
You do. Come in with that.
a sausage, egg, and cheese on an Asiago bagel.
Asiago is always the big thing. Yes.
So there you go. All right, 8 o'clock hour of early break when we return.